You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
It is 10:30 and time for the JSJ Motors with James Donicky. Welcome, James. Welcome. Do you see I looked at you for a while and I have put you on?
I know it was a bit confusing there. It's you and your one arm.
My one arm. I'm working very hard.
Yeah, no, we all got to do that. So, I mean, that's the biggest thing is, unfortunately, I hope everything gets better quickly. But, you know, as we have age, it takes a little bit longer.
Yes, it does. And so it's nice to have you back as well, James.
Yeah, I've got to have an op in 2 weeks' time as well. So we'll get that sorted out as well. Age is a bugger.
Oh, you're telling me. So, James, before we get started, we need to put it out to all our listeners near and afar. This is your chance to ask questions. James is awaiting on 072-447-8044.
Okay, so today we're going to do a little bit of the history of South Africa. I meant to do this a couple of weeks back, but we had other interesting things to worry about. So the South African motor manufacturing industry turned 100. I think it was last year or the year before. I think last year it was. So we've been in the country for, motor industry has been in the country for a long time.
Yes.
The industry is a proud of, 633,000 cars that leave the local factories. I think that might have gone up because Ford do a lot of the overseas, the buckies. So it's evolving all the time. The GDP, 5.1% of the country's GDP, so it's almost 116,000 jobs. So, and there's 400,000 people that are still working in the trade, if you think about all in the countrywide. Spares, so it all goes into the motor trade. Even the guys at the petrol stations, things like that. So it's a very big thing. Unfortunately, fuel is going up next week again.
You made mention last time, and it's sad to know that it's actually happening.
It will be happening. Unfortunately, we were on the good bandwagon for quite a while. So, that's unfortunately, but yeah, that is part of
so that'll be Tuesday midnight?
Something like that, yes. So I put in, I think it's almost 96 cents or something like that. I'm not 100% sure. So, yeah. That's, like I say, everything is about servicing your vehicle. Make sure you don't carry extra weight. Close your windows when you're driving. Use your aircon how you feel. But, I mean, with the heat wave we've been having down, you need your aircon on with the latest type of aircons. They don't use that much anyway.
But that is so true because even if you wind the window down,
it gets just as hot.
As if you left it up.
Yeah. I mean, Joburg was just as hot. I was there for the weekend for my sister's memorial. And I tell you.
Sorry to hear about that.
Unfortunately, passed away in December from cancer.
Oh,
so it's a
unfortunate.
Yeah, it's a young age she went. So yeah, same as my mother and father. So we got to look after ourselves. So we just had a bit of a family get together and all her friends, and someone she worked with. The interesting thing is, I met someone that she worked with, and she was 16 years old. Then over 50 years.
Look at that. So, James, when did you get back?
I got back on Saturday. And the daughter was out playing water polo in East London. They came third, so well done to Rhythm there.
Congratulations.
Very good, very competitive games, and that's what it's all about, I think. Yes. Now she's a matric. Oh, so there is a party this weekend. I've got to advertise down at Rhythm.
There's a party?
There's a concert going on there on Saturday evening. They've got a couple of DJs and whatever going on there. So if anybody's interested, I think just Google Rhythm and away they go. They can see what's going on there. I know I've got to go and work there, so it's not a problem. All right, so we'll go with this horseless carriage thing. you know, the beginning, what was it, January the 4th? Motor horseless carriage, that was when it came in. And the year was, just trying to see if I can see you. It was Monday, next 4th of January. It was in Berea in Joburg. They had these horseless carriage. I'm just trying to see. Monday, 4th of January. I can't remember. I can't see that when it was.
You can't see the year.
Yeah. I'm trying to see. I got my glasses on, but they don't mention too much. But that was the – you can think about a horseless carriage of 100 years ago. Or what was it? Hold on. 19 or whatever. 19 something like that. Very long time ago. And how far we've come in over 100 years. On the cars and things like that.
I mean, from a horse and cart.
It was, and everybody
to
was.
Supercars.
To supercars, super bikes, super, you know, fairly efficient. And the technology that is thing has come such a long way.
But,
you know?
Didn't the car start with Ford?
They started off Mercedes Benz. I think it was
Mercedes?
It was the Benz. Ford, what Ford did was a Henry Ford. He became a. Made it possible for everybody to have one. And that's when he came up with the Model T.
Yes.
So, and he was the one that made the first production line. Everybody had a job to do. This is where the production line started. As you see today, it only evolved a lot more. And the what they call the marriage show, you got the chassis that meets the engine, and that was there as well. But he was very clever. I don't know if people know this, where the term out of the box comes from. So what he would do is he would order parts from a certain company. And when they transported him, okay, the transport you can think was rough. It came by ship or whatever. And they made it out of good wood. And, of course, the floorboards, if you go back in the old cars, were all made of wood. He would actually take the wood, utilize the wood from what the storage came in, and make it into the floorboards and things like that. And that's where the term out of the box came from. So he was very clever. So he used people that were... He had paid for these things, and the guys made good wood, used that, got the carpenters in there, and they used that wood to create the car. So it was very, very clever of these guys. You know, they weren't silly.
Last year, about, I think, October, they had a classic car show in Simonstown.
Okay.
And you're talking about wood, and they had originals there, and you're right, wood.
Wood. And yeah, it was on 2 weeks ago.
Yes, I think that...
Truma Hall.
Yes, that's right. But this was in actually Simonstown there, and everybody brought their cars that you know, they actually drove the cars, and it was on show. And it was mind-blowing.
It's very amazing how they...
I mean, taking it back to the, you know, so far back in the cars, and it's still original, and it's still the original vehicle.
Yes.
Hasn't been tampered with or
they have to make their own parts if something breaks.
It's unbelievable.
Know?
And they drove it there.
Yeah, the chook, not fast, and up the hills and things. And there was a windscreen, if they had a windscreen, and then you have doors and you had air conditioning.
There's little wipers.
There's little wipers. Cute.
And the ladies, they all dressed up, and they dolled up at their hats, and I think. And it was still a windy. It was a windy Sunday that people were there to check
so
it
lucky
out.
If they come downhill, fine. And they don't have much brakes. People just don't realize how even brakes have evolved so far. No. These cars almost had nothing.
And they cranked it up in the front. You know, most of the cars had to be cranked. And that it was mind-blowing.
The crank handle still went on. Well, that's what they got. The one thing in Weinberg is called the Crank Handle Club. And that's where they got their name from. But the crank handle, cars were still going, fitted with a crank handle. They still had the hole in the old chrome bumper. And I'm just trying to think when the last one was. I think it was mid-60s or late 60s. They still had some of the cars still had their crank handle. So, that went for a long time. That was your starter motor. So if the battery went flat, and the batteries aren't as advanced as what they are now, so you had a battery that, especially in the UK or down here in Sutherland, or if you had a car there, it was cold weather, so you had to get there, the guys, even in Russia and things like that, so people don't realize that even in today's terms, they still can't get the car started. You don't start it when it's ice cold or icy, minus 30 or whatever.
Yes.
They'll take something and they keep it running, especially the big industrial miners things. They'll keep it running because they can't switch it off until they get into the workshop for a service. Or they take a pan with a heat and they heat up the engine oil from underneath. Just don't set the vehicle on fire.
Yeah.
Just so everything can get going and then they can try and crank it and then try and start it. So, the cold weather can make a bugger, and you think about all these old guys and with a crank handle they're trying to start a car. Dad, you're going out. I think that's why they used to never live so long, or bad shoulders or whatever, because you had to sit and crank this bloody thing. Thank goodness for self-starters.
It didn't just take on the first turn, because you had to crank. You've
got to crank it.
Yeah.
As the old aircraft and some of them used to do.
You've got to turn the
prop.
The blades.
But the prop was in the tanks and things like that. They had like a wind-up system, like a generating system.
Yes.
You used to wind it up, also with a crank handle. Build up the spring and then let it go, and then it used to turn the motor and start it. And do they still do it today? No, everything's more like that.
Everything's electronic now.
Electronic and batteries, and the batteries still go. People forget. I've done quite a few in the summertime, so it is quite quarterly. You know, things do go. So don't worry about it. If something happens to your battery, just get it replaced.
Because you did say the battery lasts for
3 to 5 years. If you get more than that, be happy.
Yeah.
That's why they only give a guarantee up between 12 and 18 months.
Is it?
Yeah. And it depends how you, if you make sure, if your battery goes flat, have it charged. Don't try and let the car charge it because it won't charge itself properly. Always charge the car every now and then.
I know you said just check your batteries as well.
Yeah, you can check it
regularly.
The latest ones are sealed, so you can't actually check it. So that's another story there. So it's just all to do with self-sufficient, because of the way the batteries are situated in certain places, you can't actually get to them. Some cars you've got to strip quite a lot before you can actually get to the battery.
So so this happens and you leave your lights on and now you need to jump. You've got to get to your battery.
No, you won't get to your battery. So what a lot of the manufacturers done, normally under the bonnet, you'll find a red tag.
Mm-hmm.
It'll say positive. That's where you put the positive. And then your negative will go somewhere on the chassis from the jump start car.
Really?
Yeah. So they thought about us being silly.
Yeah, well, we know someone very well who's very silly.
and not only that, the battery might have just been going and they just fail for some reason. I had one now, door lock wouldn't open, so we had to get a locksmith to open it up because it just wouldn't open because the system had jammed. You've got to be careful of things. Make sure you get your remote checked as well as the batteries go down, because they can also cause problems with the car starting. Just normal wear and tear stuff. So we just go through some of these old cars that we had, So it was your VW Beetle. It was produced in Uitenhage. They were brilliant little cars. I think that was very popular. It wasn't light on fuel. It wasn't the lightest car on fuel, but very reliable, easy to work on. Everybody had one, and they changed it to beach buggies, to budger bugs. They've been around a long time, and now the guys are after a normal standard Beetle just to try and keep them going. But there is a lot worldwide. Brazil were making them up until a couple of years ago. Even the VW Combis, the older ones, they were making them up to a couple of years ago. So you can still get a lot of parts from Brazil for those. But it is definitely getting that collector's item thing. You know, they were reliable, and a lot of people loved them. They're easy to work on. Parts were readily available. Easy to park. Not always, because they had those big flaty fenders that you couldn't see the edge of it. Most bumpers were dinged at some stage on those things. So that was a good one. Then you had your little Toyotas. Toyota started coming out after that, and Opel and Fords. And then you started in the 80s, the late 70s, 80s, the cars started to get a lot better.
That's right. And Opels became very, very popular, in the 80s, definitely.
Yeah, the Opel Kadett, when that was launched in 1981, that put Opel, because Opel were going backwards, Chev were going backwards at that stage. Once the Opel Kadett came in, it started to boost.
And then it became Car of the Year.
Yeah, they started to improve. It's the same as VW Golf.
Yeah.
VW were on their Beetle was now coming to the end, even though they were a lot around. Then they launched the VW Golf, and that put VW on the market. Again, as I could say, it just launched everything. Opel was the Opel Kadett. Ford was the Ford Cortina.
Yes, I had Ford Escort.
So you had your old two-door, the two-door Sport, the 600 Sport. I think it was about 3,000 Rand or 2,000, whatever Rand, brand new. Brilliant car. That one was out. I'm just trying to think what else was out there. Then you had your BMW 3 Series. That took off like a bat out of hell as well. It was the yuppie car, I think they call it. You had your 318, 320, and 323, and then it became 325. That was the yuppie car.
Yeah.
The yuppie could afford it, but the problem is the yuppie couldn't afford to have it serviced, because the service costs in those days were, compared to other normal cars, were expensive, and no one knew how to work on them. But it was a brilliant car, very good. Even the 5 Series, and then unfortunately we didn't get the M3 year until later on. E36, we got the M Series. Extremely fast motor car, very, very well engineered. The Vanos system was designed through Rolls-Royce. It still had a little badge underneath on the Vanos system with the variable camshaft system on it. It was designed by Rolls-Royce. So there was a lot of technology, because at that stage, I think BMW owned Land Rover or something, or something to do with that effect or whatever. Then you had your Alfa, your Datsun. We'll go to your little Datsun 1200s, the Buckies. They became Nissan.
Oh, yes.
You had your Nissan. That's in 1200, that's in 1400, your WAZ, and then you had your the bigger one, the Stanza.
That was popular and hardcore.
Very hardcore. Then you got your Nissan 1400 Bucky. Toyota also made that little, the 1200 Bucky, not quite as big. Also very reliable, great little car, but they stopped on that too. Your Nissan 1400 became a workhorse. That was your Bucky.
And the engines are amazing. They were strong.
They were strong. They used to last up to 100,000 Ks. 110,000, 120,000 Ks, they started to smoke a bit. But the guys used to ride the living hell out of them. And it was also simple, straightforward. easy to fix, repair.
Yes.
And nowadays, you put the engine in, close the door, something falls off. You know, yeah. The rust, unfortunately, the rust is now taking hold of the old buckies unless you haven't looked after it.
And when did Isuzu come in?
Isuzu came in, it used to be Chev. Chev Love in the 1970, 75, 76 was the Chev Love. That was a little 1600 motor, very good bucky. That steel brake drums front and rear. Then Isuzu bought. Then Isuzu came. Then Isuzu took over exactly the same, but it was an Isuzu. Then it became the Isuzu KB. And then the KB series took over from there. So now you've got, I think it's generation 7 now.
Look at the red.
Yeah.
The red Isuzu. Sean wants to get it to a million. At the moment, he's on 800 something.
So, Isuzu's already very popular. Even my son, I was talking to my son this week, and he says he thinks Isuzu is a lot better than other cars. They're not as popular as Toyotas and the Fords and things like that.
They're working vehicles, aren't they?
But also very, very good and reliable vehicles.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they don't have the backup in this area like some of the other guys do. And I think that puts people off. So they don't want to go from here to, I think, the closest Isuzu place is Goodwood or something like that. So it's a far distance, and that puts it off people as well. So
I know years back, if your Isuzu reached a million or something, didn't they offer you a new vehicle? Or is that
even
Mercedes not
Benz?
Happen now?
You know, Mercedes Benz, the C Class, the C200Ds. They use them in Greece and Europe for taxis.
Yes,
I think the one guy has racked up something like 4 million kilometers.
Yeah.
I mean, they do an extremely lot of mileage, but they service the vehicles on time. And the diesel motor was fantastic. It went didn't go very fast, put it that way, but very reliable. Even the six-cylinder, the five-cylinder one as well. Extremely high mileage. And you'll find the guy that does a million kilometers in those Mercedes-Benz taxis. It wasn't a problem. So Greece, I think it was a Greek guy, whatever, but all over Europe, the guys used to love those old Mercedes. Like I say, wasn't the fastest vehicle, very comfortable, very reliable, and it was light on diesel as well. And that's what you want, something that's light. And then we had the Alfa GTVs. They had the GTV, Alfa Romeo, then the Giulietta, then you had the 2 liter, then you had the 2.5, then you had the 3 liter, and the 3 liter became very big. I think one sold the other day, about 2 years back in Lenasia for 1.3 million rand or something.
It did?
And it was only brand new. I think it was 28,000 rand. It was brand new in those days. And that sold for one. Even the BMW IS, the 325 IS, that also sold also over 1 million rand. Then you had the Ford Sierra XR8. I don't know if everybody remembers that big Opel the Opel Cadet, the Super Boss. That was also a thing. And then Basil Green used to do all these. Anybody that knows a Ford, Basil Green was the main man. Did all the conversions and fitted V6s and V8s into cars because we could get them from overseas, but we never went. So we were basically the first country to do that. Basil Green was the first guy to go out and put V8s and V6s into certain cars and get them going.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was very big. Some of them guys, yet to get permission from Ford. You can't just do it by yourself, but he put them on the market out there to put the V8 Ford Sierras and the V6 Cortinas, or Piranhas, they called them. Fantastic cars. Used to go very nice. Used to race them, of course, at Kyle Army and down here at Killarney. Then what else did you have? The Toyota Corolla, the City Golf, came out. Then you had the GTR. That was the real manners car, the GTR Golf.
The City Golf, the Golf were all school leavers cars.
University cars. Good, cheap, easy, reliable cars to work on, and they weren't that popular to steal. Now, as it goes on. Then you had the, you had your Golf GTR, GTR 1. That is a very popular car as well. Very sought after now as well. Your Toyota Conquest RSR, Mazda 323 EGR. I don't know if anybody remembers these. These are all pocket rockets.
Yes.
then you had your Buckies. The Buckies weren't that. Buckies, you had Nissan 1400 for a long, long time. They used to run the market. Then Ford came out with their little Buckies as well. Who else? And then you had your Opel that came out with them as well. So But unfortunately, there's no more of these little buckies. So that was unfortunately, I don't know why.
Yeah, what vehicles have been discontinued in a way? I mean, you can still get them, but parts is very difficult to source.
Any Ford that's over 7 years old.
Okay.
It's getting very difficult. They don't, for some reason, they just don't tend to be in
And Opals?
Opals also very expensive. Also very expensive and not easy to find. I had to get something for my Corsa Bucky. I wanted a brake pedal rubber. It was 360 rand. You normally get them for 70 bucks. Wow. So, yeah, there's not a lot out there. Even the Golfs, the Golf City Golfs are starting to get, you can't just get parts. There's certain things you will always get, but certain things, body parts, like a handbrake lever, you'll find very difficult to do. What I find more now is if I need a radiator hose on certain vehicles, just not acceptable. Mm. They're just this. They're not being manufactured anymore. That's not a very thing. I think because there's so many different vehicles out there, they can't keep up. So you have to take a sample, try and match something up to the best of your ability, or even agents don't have.
So what do you do in that case?
Try and get something to match.
You've got to go to the
spares guys.
The spares guys.
See if they've got something, and then try and see if you can get something to match up. All these guys that make hoses, they make a certain bends for certain cars, and you might be able to get that to fit. But when you've got it, what the manufacturers used to do is change the diameter of one side bigger and one side smaller. So for you to get that, then you have to get an adaption pipe and things. And that's the only problem I find it in this country. Yeah. We don't have the backup of the older vehicles, and it is difficult for people.
Because the spares places, there's not many, but at least there's lots of vehicles that are there. So luckily, you might just
find something that'll match up. You know, that's a lot of times, so that's what I've done as well. So yeah, it's not easy to find a lot of things. Yeah. The bigger vehicle, the bigger manufacturer still to keep. Certain up to a certain year, VW, Audi, they do keep to a certain year, then they stop. The best old, I still find Mercedes-Benz and BMW. For the old vehicles, even if it's a 1978 vehicle, you go to Mercedes-Benz or you go to BMW.
They'll have it.
They might not have it, but they'll be able to order it for you from the agent. You will be paying, but you will definitely get it. There's very few things they don't keep for the old cars.
So, James, what vehicle would you suggest to school leavers? You know, now you see lots of learners Suzuki. On the road, and that seems to be the popular car, Suzuki.
Suzuki. And I think I'm going to tell you now, and you've got to be careful, is where you park the vehicle. Always wash it with water. Clean water, get the rust, because they have got a tendency to rust for the vehicles down here. You want it to last longer, yes. Suzuki is good. Hyundai, Kia. Look, the little Reynolds, people don't like me because of their names, but it's not a bad little vehicle. They can be a little bit as a pop. Make sure you get the correct one. Don't buy the wrong version because it will cost you money. So look at that. But yeah, there's your, and Ford as well, the four little Ford Escorts. Not Escorts, they've got the new one out. I can't remember what his name is. But the Ford Focus and things like that, they're also very, very good vehicles as well. But you got to remember
parts
and
services
and what can you afford. And don't forget your insurance. Find out from your insurance can before you buy a car what is popular. Do not buy a car
especially for your age, because if you're younger than 25, you pay quite a bit. Eh?
Yeah, but not only that, find out which car is not popular. You don't want to come back and your car's gone. That's the worst, because motors are quite popular.
I know Suzuki definitely is popular. I mean, on the road, you just look every second car is Suzuki. So it's affordable for
a lot of people, yes. And what you're getting, yes. I mean, I saw something, a friend of mine sent me something about a guy's Bucky was stolen. It was stolen, I think, at about maybe 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. And they found it at 4 o'clock, what was left of it. And it was completely stripped. If I told you it was, completely. The chassis was one side. Doors, roof, whatever was one side. Engine was the other side. There was nothing left of the vehicle. Everything was stripped, and this was in about 5 or 6 hours.
So what is the much-needed midnight shopping for vehicles?
Anything. You know, if people can't afford to fix a car, what are they going to do? They're going to steal a car so they can fix their cars. You know, and that's after-dark shopping, as we call it. And it's not after-dark. It's during the day, too.
I believe so. You know, we used to call it midnight shopping.
But no. Car from BMW. Arnold, I think it was, he said, now after dark motors.
but They just know how to do it, don't they? I mean, it's got alarms, it's got everything, and yet they know how to strip your vehicle.
Well, they know how to strip it. You know, I mean, anybody can strip a car. It's, you just put a spanner to it, and away you go. It's to try and stop them getting it there. So there's a lot of the newer technologies coming out. I mean, the guys can put it on flatbeds. They can jam the tracker.
Which they're doing.
Which they are doing. They've still got ways and means of doing this. A lot of time it is inside information. And you, like I say, if you've got one of these new key fobs, the remote controls that sit startless button, you know, you can leave the key in your pocket and away you start your car as long as it's within a certain distance.
Yes.
You get the I mentioned this before, you get the jammer. Put your key in that jammer, even at night, because they do steal it. You know, they'll get a frequency finder and they're starting to do that more. Like everybody was telling you about the remote controls,
that's
jamming.
Right. Jamming, and it's happening in the shopping centers and parkings. Yeah.
Number one, just be careful. Make sure the car's locked up. I mean, even the wife got her stuff, daughter got her stuff stolen at the hospital. So be careful. Make sure it's locked. Wait. Even if it's raining, just turn around and walk away. Make sure the doors are locked. That's what I say. But yeah, it's precaution more than anything else. Yeah. So, yeah, that's enough of that old bad news and pre-fuel. I thought we'll just mention this, everything as a... We've mentioned this before about hydrogen cars.
Yeah, so we might have to use... We might talk about that, the next one. We can talk about that in detail, but you can say something quickly.
If people want to look up and see about hydrogen engines, there is a lot of technology going on about it. I heard from someone last night, they spoke to someone from General Motors. Apparently, they're not going to be making electric vehicles in the US anymore.
Really? So look into that, Jansen. So that could be our next topic.
You know, it's just something. This was a hush-hush thing, but so that's the thing to do. Hydrogen, if you're interested, that's, I think, is a way to go. Look, I won't be around to see it. I might see it, but I won't be able to afford it because it'll become expensive. Even our cars will become expensive because of the fuel going up.
Because it is. Very true. Yeah. So, James, you want to give out your number?
081-070-4919. I hope everybody's good day today. Yes. The heat is out there. Aircon's on.
Contact James Donicky from JSJ Motors. Yeah. He is always willing. James, you're always willing to help anybody. So give him a call.
Try my best.
And he goes that further mile for anybody. So thanks, James.
It's a pleasure.
And we will see you in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah. So have fun.
Have fun and enjoy your day.
Cheers.
Bye.